we present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Dave Lee and your chairman is Humphrey Littleton.
Hello, well, first of all, let me introduce the curious assemblage who will hereinafter be referred to as the teams. On the one hand, Tim Brooke Taylor and William Rushton. And on the other hand, Barry Cryer and Graham Garden. They'll be competing for points, which I shall award or not, as the case may be. The first round is called Censored Songs. I'm going to ask each of you to sing a song, and during the song, it will be your task to censor, by means of a buzzer, any words considered by you to be likely to outrage public decency or frighten the horses. So, fingers on the do-it-yourself Mary Whitehouse kit, and away we go. Barry, I'm going to ask you to start with a touch of the wartime nostalgia.
Again, don't know where, don't know when, but I know we'll again some sunny day. Keep through, just like you always do, until the blue skies drive the dark clouds far away. So will you please, to the folks that I tell them I won't be long. They'll be happy to know that as you saw me, I was... We'll again, don't know where, don't know when, but I know we'll again, some sunny day.
Very good. I prefer that, in fact, to the original. Willie Rushton now, something from the Fred Astaire songbook, I believe.
The best things happen when you're... things you would not do at home come naturally on the floor. For soon becomes... when you hold it in your arms that you've never before. Even guys with two left are all right if the girl is sweet, and if by chance that should while proving that the best things happen when you the voice does it.
Fine, well, that puts Barry and Graham in the lead, but Willie and Tim have more marks. This is where I introduce a round that's played at the end of the program in order to give the teams time to think of silly names for people arriving at the teacher's ball. We've had suggestion for an occasion sent in by the Reverend Arnold Page, and just to keep the team on their toes, he sent a couple of suggestions in himself. Mr. and Mrs. Thmetic and their son, Arithmetic, a Mr. and Mrs. Dent Romance, and their son, Student Romance. We shall see how you fare at the end of the program. Now, tag wrestling. In this round, I'm going to give each team the payoff of a story, and I shall then start one of you off telling a story to fit your punchline. And then when I feel like it, I shall press my buzzer, which goes like that, and a member from the opposing team will have to take up that story, but make it fit his punchline. Now, Tim and Willie, your punchline is, and I'll give it to you slowly so you can write it down. So the hedgehog pounced, and custard flooded the brewery. So the hedgehog pounced, and custard flooded the brewery. Have you got that?
Yes.
Barry and Graham, yours coming up. The choir boy went peep, peep, but the cactus wobbled as they sat.
As they sat.
Right. Now, to start off, as I gave you yours first, and you've had a bit of time to think, Tim Brooke Taylor started us off.
Chief Inspector Hodgkinson, known as the hedgehog at the yard, was was strolling along outside Buckingham Palace when he suddenly heard sounds of merriment. It was the young prince's birthday party going on. Now, the young prince, as we all know, is called Prince Andrew.
Graham Gunn.
Prince Andrew is, in fact, a member of the local choir, the Buckingham Palace choirs, and is known as a choir boy. Prince Andrew was deeply upset to learn of the recent demise of Hedgehog of the Yard, as he knew him, and attended the funeral. And shortly after that, went on a tour of America.
Over to Willie Rushton.
Where, indeed? They went to Milwaukee, where brewers, quite berserkly, it was during Prohibition. So the brewers, quite naturally, in those days, turned to producing various forms of other liquid, which they could make with the same vats, like steaming implements. Viz, for instance, custard, which is where the whole mystery comes up.
Barry Cryer?
An interesting sidelight, but that's having nothing to do with this story. They did, in fact, they were taken out, in fact, on their excursion to the desert, and Prince Andrew, known, of course, as the choir boy, was invited to sing with the rest of the choir in the desert. Now, there's a quaint old tradition in the Mojave Desert, among the Indians of the Mojave Desert, a cry of peep, peep, to try.
Tim.
Which they make when they wish to go for a short holiday. While on holiday, one of these Indians happened to get the film rights of a British film about an ex-Scotland Yard man called the Hedgehog. But it had to be set in America, of course, for the American audience. Where better than Milwaukee, where the brewers produce custard? So the film starts.
I have this great idea, boss. Cactus custard.
Tell me all about it. As soon as these choir boys have left the room, said the boss of the brewery. They are about to demonstrate the strange cry of the Indians of the Mojave Desert.
Indian choir boys are being wholly irrelevant to the film. The producer said, we cannot have more of this, but I do like the inspector. He is excellent. I like the references to Prohibition. Those we will keep in, and the custard it makes for a wonderful denouement. I can almost imagine a denouement now with the inspector.
Suddenly, the head of the studio walked in. I have my own ideas on this story. We build up to a climax in the desert where you have this lone choir boy in the rays of the setting sun.
What am I talking about, he said. I'm having one of my fits again. What I meant to say was the final denouement of this is when the brewery must be destroyed. Oh, the hedge.
And the choir boy, played by Doris Day, comes in with a motor horn. And finds this cactus, and then for no reason at all. This is the best part of the movie.
Doris
no
Day
reason.
Could play the inspector. That isn't bad, said the producer. Or indeed, she could play the custard with Howard Keel. Howard Keel possibly doing the brewery number. Now, there's this huge final scene with the Busby Barclay. It's always the brewery. There's the yellowness of the custard spreading around. And there's the magnificent final scene with Hedgehog. In all his glory,
suddenly observes the ancient custom of cactus sitting taking place before him across the floor of the...
turned round in a wild moment, the hedgehog turned round. And he turned round again. He was getting dizzy. At this moment, he decided to destroy the brewery, and the hedgehog pounced, and custard flooded the brewery.
Excellent. I'll give you the score later when I've had time to recover from that round. And we go on to the next round, which is the musical story, which is one that we've heard before. In this round, Dave Lee will play a tune, and one of you must start a story relating to the title or mood of that song. And at a signal, Dave will then change the tune, and a member of the opposite team will take up the story, but fitting it to the new tune. Do you all understand that perfectly?
No.
Right. And Barry, we'll start with you. So listen to your tune from Dave Lee.
It was during Vespers that Cyril realised that he didn't want to be a choir boy, but in fact a chief inspector at Scotland Yard. He ran down the aisle, his young feet clattering upon the ancient stone. "Where are you going?" they all cried. "I'm going to Scotland Yard," he cried, and rushed down to the station, across the platform, and boarded a train to Willie. Thank you.
little-known theatrical impresarios. They said, don't waste your time, boy, they said. going into the police business, he said, you're not large enough, and you haven't got the knees for it. He said, look, going to show business, and with a voice like yours, you could go to...
Graham Garden.
You could go to have piano lessons. There's a very good man. Plays on Sundays down the old Bull and Bush. You go and see him, he'll set you up. Thank you very much, said the choir boy, whose name had escaped everybody's mind.
Cyril.
And off Cyril went. Now, the old Bull and Bush was a real rumbustious old pub with people swilling beer and sipping gins, and there in the corner he spied...
Jim Brooklyn, will you wind down the story with this one?
Certainly. Three blind mice. At that moment, four pink elephants emerged from a doorway. Five bats that shrieked, Harold Wilson for king. At that moment, we all woke up and it was a happy ending.
Well, all of you who've been following this game so far will be wanting to know what the score is. Graham and Barry won. Willie and Tim in the lead by quite a margin, 1.5. And we go on to a game that's called Word for Word. In this round, one of the members of a team says a word and his partner must say another word totally unconnected with the first and so on. The other team may challenge and try and prove a connection. They have buzzers, and as soon as they buzz the buzzers, I will ask them to prove the connection. I'm going to start now with you, Willie Rushton. My first word for you is braces.
Horse meat.
Alarm clock.
Ashtray.
Red light.
Glowing red end.
A challenge from Barry Crump.
Glowing red end of cigarette ashtray, red light ashtray. Definitely really.
Very clever. Very good. Yes, yes, I think I'll give you that one. Now then, it's you to start then, Graham Garden, with the word mug.
Perambulator.
Challenge from, I didn't clear my brother. Who is that challenge? Was that Tim?
They rhyme in Chinese.
Sideways.
You're right as far as Chinese spelling's concerned, but in point of fact, the pronunciation is different, so I'm not going to
allow.
Thank you. What did you get? How far did you get? Perambulator. Start with that one, then.
So it's Graham again, is it?
Yes.
With another word?
I'll give you another word, yes. Grope.
Light. Theodolite. Microphone. Shoelace. Artichoke. Knee. Pentecost.
What?
Spinach. I'm watching.
Drama.
What embarrassing.
Arrow.
Challenge there from Willie.
Drama and arrows, westerns, that sort of thing. Not funny.
Yes, I'll allow that one.
It's got to be something called Flaming Arrow with Elvis Presley or something.
Good challenge.
I thought we'd slip that one past.
I would start, Tim, it's over to you now, and your word is sordid.
Is it? Oh, I see. Willie Rushton. There's two words, Rushton.
Vestibule.
Exit.
Mousetrap.
Graham.
I think vestibule and exit have something in common.
I would have thought so.
You go in through them both.
Not in my book.
If you go in through them both...
I haven't read your book.
If you go in through them both, it can't have anything to do with an exit, can it? So,
we carry on.
Willie Rushton, start it off again with the word tape.
Archbishop.
Microphone.
Worm.
Hole.
Armitage.
Graham, I think I'll award it without listening to your...
Archbishop and microphone. Or indeed, worm and hole.
Yes.
Mm. Yes. Mm. Yes. So.
Don't need to say any more there, really.
Right, Barry, will you start off for your team? This will be the last one now, and it's the word tip.
Pardon?
Thank you, Tim.
T-I-P, tip.
Ah.
Meteorite. Meteorite after the show. what did he say? Meteorite.
Yes,
wig.
Did.
Wig. Off the top of my head. hair. Bit under the arm.
Tim, you challenge.
Bell.
I hoped you wouldn't.
Wigan Hare.
I won't allow that one because it was H-A-R-E, wasn't it?
Yes, of course it was. Yes.
Right. Will you start very quickly then with tin opener?
Man.
Tinned man, which is very popular in certain parts of Africa.
Very good. Right. Well, that alters the score considerably. Now we go on to ad-lib. Round which is called ad-lib poem. The teams are going to make up a poem. Each team member must keep going until I press the buzzer, which I'll do whenever I like, and then a member of the opposing team must take over. This goes on until the natural artistic conclusion is reached or until I simply can't stand it anymore. The first line of your poem is, and I'm going to ask Graham Garden to start the poem off. And your first line, Graham, is, so off I set with bated breath to luncheon at the Vicar's.
So off I set with bated breath to luncheon at the Vicar's. And I must say that I did hope my wife would bring her tickers. Two alarm clocks that she wore upon each wrist each day. And every time when she got up each morning, I would say, by God, surely thou not going to wear two clocks again. Oh, yes, she said.
It is extremely fashionable and reminds me I'm not dead. Because living with you is extremely boring. Because all you do constantly is talk about the flooring. I know you never wanted to go into the church.
Barry.
And if you do, you leave me in the lurch. By now I am demented, I am deranged, but I have realised the meter it has changed. But still I spoke to her as we both quaffed a cup of tea. I said to her, my love, are you glad to be wed to me? There is one thing I must say, lad, she said, with great regret.
I want a great big furry thing. You'd call it a big great pet. He said, is that what I'd call it, love? She said, you would, I trow. Trow? She said, you mean a pig, or even possibly a sow? She said, he said, I forget which now.
It doesn't matter much. But if you want to have a sow, then I must build a hutch. But sows, my dear, my wife explained, they live inside a sty.
Oh, said the vicar, me, oh me, I'll get the meter right, oh my. What I could do for your pet, my dear, my duck, my dove, is tear all the flooring up and build something to put up above these amazing animals that you are collecting once a week.
There's one thing I can't stand is a vicar who cannot speak. Cannot speak, the vicar said. Beat? Nay, nay.
At least I heard that's what he did. From an old poacher man. He lived on yonder hill, he did. And he had a frying pan. And in that pan he'd cook and coop. And things you've never heard.
One day, I'll tell you, and it's true, I saw him cook a bird. There's nothing wrong with that, my dear, the vicar then replied. My dear, I said, why don't you watch your dong? Then I continue. I say that I saw this poacher man first. But when they heard good-looking birds,
in certain positions were clear.
Right, sir. Why not cook choir boy? He'd be tasty. No, I think I've been hasty. He said, and I thought, yes, sir. Why don't we cook the sow? And the vicar said, well, that's very well, but... Oh.
Very good. We'll leave that question hanging. Now, to the blues. And for this round, each team will give the other a topic for a blues, which is... Sally and Graham, will you? I told you at the beginning of that round that I'm asked to mark this one for wit, cleanliness, and brevity.
Good night, all. Lack of
anyway,
dressmaking.
Anyway, Tim and Willie, it's your turn to give a subject, please, to Barry and Graham.
The Crufts dog show, Crufts.
I woke up in the morning, took my dog along to Crufts.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
He was molding badly. Molding badly was his fur was coming out in great big tubs. And what's more, he had a speech impediment. Instead of barking, he used to go rufts, rufts, rufts.
Thank you, Sonny Terry and Brownie McGee. This is the point in the programme where I go home so that I can miss your announcements of the arrivals at the teacher's ball. So as soon as you've thought of one, start it off, and I'll be back later.
Mr. and Mrs. Mattix and their rather posh daughter, Martha Mattix. Oh, please welcome.
Mr. and Mrs. present. And their children. Smith, present. Wilkinson.
And Mr. and Mrs. Master Study.
Oh. They were coming.
And their son, Ed, Master Study.
Pray be crouched. For Mr. and Mrs. London Education Authority and their daughter, Ina London.
Please give a friendlier welcome, please, to Mr. and Mrs. Bun and their pyromaniac son.
Go on.
Known as the Bun Son Burner.
Oh. Have you spotted over there in the doorway?
Yes, I have.
Mr. and Mrs. Gibrosasod and their son, Al Gibrosasod.
Hurriedly followed, and will you welcome, please, Mr. and Mrs. Nometry and their horse, Trigger.
While we're on the subject of pyromania, would you welcome, please, Mr. and Mrs. Scale and their fire-raising son, Burnham.
Scale?
Let us hear it for Mr. and Mrs. Igitter and their colourful offspring from the deep south, Gordy Amos Igitter.
Mr. and Mrs. Turchips and their daughter, Miss Turchips. Miss...
Who's just there, Miss Turchips?
And will you welcome, please, a warm hand.
A squash in the doorway.
Quit pushing, please. For Mr. and Mrs. Kate of Education and their distinguished military son, General Sir Tiffy Kate of Education.
Followed by corporal punishment. Not to mention Mr. and Mrs. Undbottom and their daughter Kay Undbottom.
Mr. and Mrs. Day Levels
and that's on Owen Day levels.
At this point, ladies and gentlemen, at this point, we come to the end of our contest. The score is a very interesting score at the moment.
What is the score?
I'll tell you.
Are we behind?
Tim and Willie are behind.
Oh, in that case, would you please welcome Mr. and Mrs. Slips Drive Me Mad and their son, Jim Slips Drive Me Mad. Mr. and Mrs. Puss and their daughter, Syllabus.
Mr. and Mrs. Apple for the teacher.
Best of luck.
And their granny, Smith.
Well, with Graham and Barry fighting back courageously.
And also their French grammar.
That last insert puts Tim and Willie in the lead for this week. And unless the BBC comes to their senses in the meantime, we shall all be back with you again next week.